Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
We're going to be in John chapter number 20, John chapter number 20, and obviously today we're going to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a special day this is. You know, no other religion can have a day like today. Amen. Only those that are followers of Jesus Christ. There's tombs that have other prophets and teachers and people that have started other religions, but the only tomb that is empty is the tomb of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is risen. And we're so thankful for that today. John chapter number 20. And if you'll follow along with me, we're going to read the first 10 verses in this chapter. This is John's account. You could find in the other Gospels, the accounts as well. And, you know, every one of the Gospels give a little bit different account of just Jesus' life, and you can find different details. They're not in contrast at all one to another, that some give more information than others. I like John. John here, if you were to study John and Peter, it seems like there was this little competition constantly between John and Peter, and we won't go into that this morning, but we see it even here in chapter number 20. As I was reading, I just thought it was so humorous. John, he describes himself. He says, Peter, look with me in verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John speaking of himself. This is Peter, that guy Peter, and the one that Jesus loved. That was me. And we went running, and then he also, I think he's making fun of Peter as well. He says this. Then they, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, which is John, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. You see this competition here between these two? I don't know if he was calling Peter chubby. I'm not sure what the purpose of us needing to know this is. But John thought it was important to know that Jesus loved him and that he could outrun Peter. In verse number 5, he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie in the napkin that was about his head, and not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Father, I pray today that you would just help us as we look into this passage of scripture. Lord, what a wonderful celebration this is. Friday, we looked at your death. We looked at this horrific crucifixion that you went through so that our sin debt could be paid for. But today, Lord, we rejoice because the tomb is empty. The one that we call Lord and Savior is not dead. He is risen. And God, I pray today that we would rejoice. Lord, if there's one here today that has never trusted you as their Savior, God, I pray today that you would save them. I pray, Lord, by faith, they'd repent of their sin, they'd turn to Jesus Christ, and they'd be gloriously saved today. So, Lord, do a special work, Lord, I pray, that only you can do. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Something interesting I see here in these first few verses that I read, and that is this. Jesus has been with his disciples for 3.5 years. He has been teaching his disciples. He's been showing his disciples who he is. He's even asked the disciples, who does man say that I am? And the disciples will say this, you're the Son of God. They've seen him do miracles. They've been alone with him as he's taught them and showed them who he is. They've seen the blind man receive his sight. They've saw the deaf man receive his hearing, and the crippled one was given his legs again to be able to walk and the strength to walk. They've watched Jesus do these things from the very first miracle of turning the water into wine. They've witnessed Jesus do and say and be the one he said he was. They went out and Jesus taught them how to heal, and they went out and couldn't heal. And they came back and they said to Jesus, how come we can't heal like you heal? How come we can't cast out demons like you cast out demons? And Jesus said, this kind cometh not by prayer and fasting. He taught them how to pray. He taught them the importance of fasting. He revealed scripture to them. He told them this, that they were going to take the temple, tear this temple down, in 3 days it would be built back up again, referring to his own resurrection, referring to the fact that he would die and in 3 days rise again. They heard all of these things. They witnessed him die on the cross. They saw the sky blackened at noonday, and they watched as he cries out, it is finished, and he gives up the ghost. They witnessed all of these things. They placed his body in this tomb, and then on the first day of the week, the anticipation wasn't like the anticipation that we had today. Today, the first thing I thought of as I woke up was that tomb is empty. And I knew why that tomb is empty, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It was a day of rejoicing. It was a day of gladness, just like many of you, if not all of you today, as you woke up, you thought about that tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has risen, just like he said that he would, just like it was prophesied that he would. He is who he said that he was. He is the Son of God, and God raised him from the dead. But what's interesting in this passage of Scripture, his followers looked for something different. When Mary was coming to the tomb that morning, she was not expecting what she saw. Mary, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, she came for a different purpose. She came with spices, and they were going to put spices on the body of Jesus. And why would they have done that? On Friday when he died and they placed him in the grave, that was a hurried thing because the Sabbath was coming. So ones like Mary specifically, and those that were with her, thought that Jesus maybe wasn't cared for properly, or he didn't get the care, his body didn't get the care because of the rush of the Sabbath. So they were coming back after the Sabbath on the first day of the week to make sure that her Savior's body was cared for properly. So she comes with these spices and these perfumes to be able to prepare the body of Jesus. There was this hurrying because of the Sabbath. But when she gets there, she's expecting to see the body of Jesus. But Jesus has already revealed to his disciples that he wasn't going to be there. He said, as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will Jesus spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, but he's going to rise again. He shared these things with his disciples, but his disciples failed to recognize what the scripture says. Matter of fact, we find it even right here. The Bible says in verse number 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The Bible goes on to tell us this in verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher as the other disciples were running back to their house. Now there's great confusion with the disciples. But Mary stays there. And as Mary stays there, she's there in the garden there, and she begins to weep, the Bible tells us. She stooped down. She looked into the sepulcher again. We're not sure why she looked into it again. Maybe just to make sure what is happening is truly happening. I don't think that she was looking into it again to see if Jesus' body was there. I think she was looking in just out of what is going on, what is happening, how could this happen, who's taken the body of Jesus. I've come to love him, I've come to put this perfume and these spices on him, and he's gone. Who could have done this to his disciples? The Bible says this, that as she looks into that sepulcher that second time, she sees two angels in white, sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said this, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. One of the other gospels tell us that she thought it was the gardener there. This gardener speaks to her, but this gardener wasn't the gardener, it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have been born him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now she is even saying to this one that she is thinking the gardener, If you've moved him, tell us where you've moved him, and I'll take care of his body. If you know what's happened to this man Jesus, tell us. Jesus says to her this, probably the most comforting, the most loving, the most kind word. He just simply mentions her name, Mary. And as soon as he says her name, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to thy brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary here is learning something about the resurrection. This is not something that she expected. She runs back and she tells the disciples his body's gone. She meets this one that she believes is the gardener, and she says to this gardener that she supposes is the gardener, what have you done with the body? Where is he? Let me know where you've put him, and I'll take him. And he says these words, Whom seekest thou? See, the apostles came running looking for the body of Jesus. Many during this day, they were looking for a king. In John chapter number 12, if you were to study this passage of Scripture in verse 12 and 13, on this day, just a week prior, this day that's called Palm Sunday, some looking for a deliverer from Rome, just a week before, they said this of Jesus. They cried out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Jews were looking for a king that would deliver them from the bondage of Rome. Some sought freedom from political oppression. Some sought freedom from the religious oppression they were living under. Many were looking for Jesus. They were looking for a teacher. They were looking for a prophet. They were looking for one to lead them, but they weren't looking for a risen Savior. They were looking for one to meet the needs in their life and that physical need there upon earth. They were looking for a king to come in and ride into Jerusalem and defeat the Roman Empire. They were looking for one like that. They were looking for one to come in and make sense out of the religious culture. They were looking for someone, but they weren't looking for the one that was risen from the dead. Now, he's dead. They watched him die. They placed him in the tomb. The disciples, his followers, came and they know where they laid his body. They watched the stone be placed over this tomb. Now this question is asked, Whom seekest thou? As I read that question, the angels asked Mary and Jesus asked Mary, I wonder today in a crowd like this, who do you seek? Who are you looking for? The Jews were looking for a king. And they missed the Messiah. His disciples were looking for a deliverer. And they missed the teaching that Jesus was giving to them. Their plans didn't work as they thought they had hoped. Now in verse number 19, the Bible says they're back in their home. They're locked for fear of the Jews. They're afraid now. What is going to happen? Are we going to be blamed for stealing the body of Jesus? The disciples knew that they had nothing to do with this. would they be falsely accused like Jesus was falsely accused? They saw what the religious elite can do. They saw what Rome can do. In those days, grave robbing was such a big deal. Rome actually became a capital punishment in Rome. And so you could be put to death for robbing a grave in those days. Would they be falsely accused of taking this Jesus and proclaiming now that he is risen from the dead? Now they sit in fear. They sit wondering. They sit hopeless. They sit confused. In verse number 19, before Jesus appears to them, they must have been sitting in this room wondering, what has happened? All that we have put our hope in, all that we have put our time in these last 3 or 3.5 years, all that we have believed, is he who he said he was? What is happening at this time? And then the question I'm sure they're at wondering is this: what do we do next? What's the next move? As I thought about the condition the disciples have found themselves in on Resurrection Sunday, I thought to myself so many times this past week as I've studied for this message, the world sits in the same place. Not believing, not understanding that Jesus is who he says that he is. The world sits in confusion, waiting for hope when hope has already come. The world sits in turmoil when the one that's going to bring peace has already come. The world is going to wait for one to come. We've been studying this through the book of Revelation. They're going to wait for this one to come and offer peace, but it's going to be false peace. But the one that has offered true peace has already come. But I want to bring it to this room today, those that are sitting in this room. What are you seeking today? Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel like things are hopeless. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're looking for answers. Maybe religion has failed you. Maybe there's people in your life that has failed you. Maybe the things that you've been taught all of your life, you're coming to the place and you're realizing some of those things just aren't true. And you're sitting here today wondering, what is truth? What can I believe? Maybe you're sitting here today in fear because of things that have come upon you, and you're looking for hope and you're looking for peace, and you've tried everything, like the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of the garment of Jesus and was healed. The Bible says this of her, that she gave all that she had. She tried every doctor. She tried everything of the world's medicine to try to be cured, but nothing in this world could help her. Maybe you sit here today and you've gone to counselors and you've gone for help and you've tried everything this world has to offer, and still there's no peace. Still there's no answers. You sit like the disciples sat. But I want you to see something here in verse number 19. The Bible says this: then the same day at evening, the very same day, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Imagine, if you would please, the disciples are all huddled in this room. Just a few days earlier, they were huddled in a room. And Jesus said this: this is my blood, my body that is broken for you. Then he gave of the bread, he gave of the wine. He said, this is my blood that's shed for you. Now they've watched Jesus be crucified. Now they're sitting in this room. They've locked the doors because they're afraid of who might come in. And in their fear, and in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their agony, in the midst of their confusion, Jesus just shows up in this room. And the first thing he says is this: peace. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he hath said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. I want you to see this morning as well, not only did the disciples were unsure of what they were looking for, there was confusion there. The resurrected body of Jesus appears to his followers, and three things I see happened here. Number one is this, the Bible says he brings peace. As soon as the disciples see him, the Bible says this of the disciples, they were glad. In a moment when Jesus came in and showed them his hands and showed them the nail-pierced his side, he says to them, peace be unto you. Immediately, everything that they needed, Jesus showed them that he was. This is the purpose of the resurrection. See, the Bible tells us this, he went to the cross, he shed his blood for us, but it doesn't end there just with the crucifixion. The gospel continues with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is the resurrection so important? Number one, it's so important because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ is able to bring peace to your life. If Jesus Christ was dead, then there's nothing that he could do for you. If Jesus Christ was dead and in a grave, even if they had moved him into another grave, if he had been buried and still dead, then these disciples would have continued to be in fear. Their lives would continue to be hopeless. There would be no way for them to have peace. There would be no way for them to have understanding. There would be no purpose to their life. But there's purpose to their life because of the resurrection. And there's purpose to your life today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. Because Jesus Christ brings peace. In a life of turmoil, Jesus brings peace. In a life of misunderstanding, Jesus Christ brings peace. In a life of confusion, Jesus Christ brings peace. And he can only bring peace because he is not dead. He is not in the grave. He is risen just like he said that he would. He's alive. Secondly, I find this, not only does he bring peace because of the resurrection, we receive the Holy Ghost. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't have the time this morning to study this all the way through with you, but I would love for you to do a study on your own. If you were to go back in the book of Genesis, God used his words. He said, let there be a sun, and out of nowhere there was a sun. He said, let there be a moon, and out of nothing a moon was formed. He spoke into existence the trees, and he spoke into existence the animals. And then when he made man, the Bible says that he took the dust of the ground, he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. It's the first time we find that God breathed life into man. But the story goes on to tell us this, that man, in the perfect state that he was, he sinned. He disobeyed God. He took of the fruit of the tree that he was told not to and disobeyed God from that. And from that point forward, sin entered into mankind. And from that point forward, every man that was born into this world, every man, every woman born into this world is born with this sin nature. What does the resurrection do for us? It not only brings peace, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ allows us to receive the Holy Spirit of God. It's through the Spirit of God that we have life. It's through the finished work of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we receive the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us this, that the Spirit would come upon them, but it could leave as well. It's not until this time that the Spirit of God comes and begins to indwell in mankind. I want you to see something else. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Apostle Paul is going to share with us the importance of the resurrection. So first of all, we find this, that the resurrection brings peace. The resurrection brings the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit into our lives. Thirdly, I want you to see this. The resurrection brings understanding. It brings understanding. Look what happens in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of amongst you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" For some reason, there were some here in the times of Corinth that were saying that we're not going to be resurrected. And Paul is saying, now let me get this straight. We preach Christ crucified and that he rose again. But there's some of you that are saying that we're not going to be resurrected. Paul goes on to say, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? Is your faith vain? Oh, Paul is giving us the importance of the resurrection. He's giving us understanding what has happened because of the resurrection. He says, Jesus Christ rose again, and if you don't believe in the resurrection, then do you believe in the preaching? Do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe what's being said? If there is no resurrection, look with me in verse number 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, listen to me today. It gives us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives us understanding of the purpose and the value of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then there is no hope for sinners. You and I are still in our sins, but because Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, because the resurrection is true, because the grave is empty, because Jesus Christ rose again and conquered death, because of that, we are no longer dead in our sins. We're alive in Christ because of the resurrection. Oh, listen to me, we don't serve religion. We don't serve a church. We don't serve a man. We serve a living Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me, we're not bound to sin. They were looking for a deliverer, but we have a deliverer. They were looking for a deliverer that would deliver them from Rome, but we have a deliverer that delivered us from something even greater than Rome. Jesus Christ delivered us from the bondage of sin, and because he rose again, sin has no hold on me, and sin has no hold on you. Because Jesus Christ rose again, you have everlasting life and victory over sin. The Bible says this in verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there is no resurrection, then death is won. Then death is the end. If there's no resurrection, then this is it. This is the best you'll have. That's why in the Bible they say, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. And many in the world believe that. But oh, listen to me, my friend, this is not the end. There is life after this life. Inside of every single person here in this room, there is a soul that is going to live for all of eternity. And God is not willing that you spend all of eternity in a devil's hell, but God desires to spend all of eternity with you. And without the resurrection, then all of us are just dead. This is it. This is final. You might as well just live the best life that you can, because after this, it's over. But oh, my friend, that is not true, because your soul is going to live someplace. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it guarantees for all those that put their faith and trust in the work of the cross, in the resurrection of our Savior, it guarantees this, that your soul will spend eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Christ did not come just to meet the needs of this life. He came to give everlasting life. He said to Nicodemus this. Nicodemus wanted to know about this eternal life. What does this mean? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that. He says, what does this mean? I must be born again. I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And I can just imagine Jesus thinking to himself, Nicodemus, you're so close, but so far. You're so religious. No, I'm not talking about being born again physically. I'm talking about being born again spiritually. Listen to me. There is this prosperity gospel preaching that is just rampant across our nation. It's this westernized Christianity that if you get saved, all of your problems are going to go away. That Jesus is more of like this magic genie. That if you ask him, he'll do whatever to make your life wonderful. And listen to me today, that's not the gospel that's preached in the Bible. If all you're wanting to do is be a follower of Jesus so that you get something here on this earth, you've got the wrong understanding of who Jesus is. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost. He's speaking of those that are lost spiritually. Christ didn't just come to meet this life's needs. He came so that you could have everlasting life. And if the resurrection did not happen, you and I could not have everlasting life. Look with me in verse number 21 of the same chapter. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. What is he saying? Adam brought death into this world. But Jesus Christ brought life. His resurrection reversed the curse of sin. You and I are born in this world dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. There's nothing we can do. There's not a person that can be good enough to save themselves. There's not a person that can be religious enough to save themselves. There's no amount of money that you can give. There's not no amount of baptisms that you could have that you could cleanse yourself. There's nothing that you can do because all of your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. There's nothing you can do. But while you were dead in trespasses and sins, Jesus Christ loved you and he gave his life for you. And every single person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, sin came into the world because of Adam. But everlasting life came to us because of Jesus Christ in the resurrection from the dead. Look with me in the same passage of Scripture in verse number 42. The Bible says this, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Would you understand this today? Because of the resurrection, every man and every woman that is born into this world into sin, that is born into corruption, can be made new. Your body, this old body, is going to die. It's sinful. But because of the resurrection, what was made corrupt in corruption can be made incorruptible, but only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This body is sinful. The day that you were born, the Bible tells us this, you begin to die. You can't stop it. Boy, it doesn't matter all the creams that you buy and all the magic potions that you can get. You can't stop it. It's coming. Death is coming to all mankind. Many have tried but failed. This body is corruptible. But Jesus Christ has come to give life eternal. So what does the resurrection bring to those that have by faith trust in him? Look with me in verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, what's that word, changed. This is because of the resurrection. If it was not for the resurrection, we'd all sleep. We would all be in the grave just like Jesus Christ would still be in the grave. But because Jesus Christ rose again, conquering death, because of that, the Bible says this, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and the mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And oh, this wonderful saying here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen to me, death has no victory because Jesus Christ defeated death. Death has no power because Jesus Christ defeated death. Jesus Christ, on that third morning, he rose again. He conquered death. And because of that, you and I can have everlasting life, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this, because of the resurrection, we'll receive a new body in verse number 51 and 52. Because of the resurrection, the Bible tells us in verse 54 and 55 and also in verse number 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this, because of the resurrection this morning, we have victory over death. I, like many of you in this room, you've buried people that you love. It's a difficult, difficult thing. When my father was 55 years old, I got the phone call from my brother that he simply said this, Dad is dead. I'll never forget those words. And that's all he could say. Dad is dead. I said, what? He said, Dad's dead. Those words rang in my ears, and we were living in Cincinnati at the time, and I gathered my family, and we drove through the night. It was late in the evening. We got up into Michigan by that evening, and those words just rang in my ears, Dad is dead. Dad is dead. Many of you have heard those words of people that you love. Just a few weeks ago, I sat at the bedside of Ray Nowak, and before he slipped into death, he, just a few days before, would talk about the wonderful Savior, seeing his Savior face to face, singing about heaven. And then a few days later, he slipped out into eternity, and I got the phone call. Ray's gone. Boy, that phone call, it stings, it hurts. But I stood at a pulpit like this with a casket of my father in front of me. And with tears in our eyes, but with confidence in the Word of God, preached a message that this old body is corruptible. But those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are now incorruptible. One day the trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds to be with Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose again. He conquered death. Death, where is thy sting? Victory over death because of the resurrection. Look with me in verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we have a purpose to life because of the resurrection. Paul says, because he spends an entire chapter, because of the resurrection, because Jesus Christ rose again, because you have victory over death, because death has no sting, because Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father, not in some grave, not in some borrowed tomb, Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Because of that, you and I have a purpose in life. We can live this life. We can be unmovable. We can be steadfast. We can always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because our labor is not in vain. Because Jesus Christ lives today. Oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, to those that are enduring physical pain today, oh, listen to me, it's only for a season. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this old body is going to be changed. You are going to receive a brand new glorified body, but only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the one that's sitting today wondering, am I loved? Is life worth living? You're wondering, is there a purpose to life? Yes, there's a purpose to life. Yes, you are loved. And yes, life is worth living, but only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the one here today that's putting their faith in religion and has been disappointed because of religion, I want you to know that it's not religion that saves you. It's Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Today, whom do you seek? Mary went to the grave seeking one that was still in the grave. Peter and John ran to the grave looking for the one that was still in the grave. The Corinthian church, there was some confusion about the resurrection, and Paul sets this all straight. Because Jesus Christ rose again, those of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we too will be resurrected at the last day. We have something to rejoice in. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today is a wonderful celebration. It's a reminder that Jesus Christ rose again. We have victory over death, and we will see Jesus one day. And I say to you what Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, keep serving Jesus. It's worth it. And for the one here today that maybe has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say to you today, repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. He's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father waiting to make intercession for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He died for your sin debt, and he rose again to give you everlasting life. Will you receive Jesus Christ today?
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org. And we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church Podcast.